The Wonderful World of Disney presents A Tale as Old as Time, starring her as Belle, Josh Groban as the Beast, Joshua Henry as Gaston, Martin Short as Lumiere, Shania Twain as Mrs. Potts, David Alan Greer as Cogsworth, John Briones as Maurice, Rizwan Munji as LeFou, and Leo Abelo Perry as Chip.
An enchanted book showing the smiling actors floats over to the narrator, Rita Moreno.
Beauty and the Beast. The 30th celebration starts now.
A shooting star arcs over a castle on a lake in glimmering text. Disney. In a forest, a waterfall flows down a rocky cliffside. Pine trees stand tall over the green valley where a deer drinks from a stream. Between the trees, a towering castle sits on the horizon.
Once upon a time, in a faraway land, a young prince lived in a shining castle. Although he had everything his heart desired, the prince was spoiled, selfish, and unkind. But then, one winter's night, an old beggar woman came to the castle and offered him a single rose in return for shelter from the bitter cold. Repulsed by her haggard appearance, the prince sneered at the gift and turned the old woman away. But she warned him not to be deceived by appearances, for beauty is found within. And when he dismissed her again, the old woman's ugliness melted away to reveal a beautiful enchantress. The prince tried to apologize, but it was too late, for she had seen that there was no love in his heart. And as punishment, she transformed him into a hideous beast and placed a powerful spell on the castle and all who lived there. Ashamed of his monstrous form, the beast concealed himself inside his castle with a magic mirror as his only window to the outside world. The rose she had offered was truly an enchanted rose which would bloom until his 21st year. If he could learn to love another and earn her love in return by the time the last petal fell, then the spell would be broken. If not, he would be doomed to remain a beast for all time. As the years passed, he fell into despair and lost all hope. For who could ever learn to love a beast?
As smoke rises, dancers dressed in white flee from the silhouette of a large beast on the castle wall. A golden title appears, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. A spotlight shines over a woman with curly gray hair standing beneath an archway on a stage. Sketches of Belle and the Beast adorn the archway. Rita Moreno steps out and waves.
Welcome everyone to the 30th anniversary celebration of Walt Disney Animation Studios' Oscar-winning animated masterpiece, Beauty and the Beast. You are in for such a special treat as we present the animated movie we all know and love with the musical numbers reimagined as live-action spectacles. And for the Disney fan and all of us, we are going to have some rare looks behind the curtain, showing you just how this classic film came to be. From right here on the Disney Studios backlot, where the inspiration first struck to create this landmark film, one that has brought magic into the lives of countless people all around the globe. And that legacy began on this very ground with an artist, an idea, and a pencil.
On white paper, a sketch of Belle, a young woman carrying a handbasket, moves around. She swings her basket and brushes her hair back. The view drifts up, revealing several sketches strewn about on concrete steps. Outdoors, live-action Belle carries a wicker basket and hugs books to her chest as she strolls past a house made of combined illustrations. She leaves a building labeled Animation and moves into streets lined with illustrated market stalls.
little town, it's a quiet village. Every day like the one before. Little town full of little people, waking up to say
bonjour. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
There goes the baker with his tray, like always. The same old bread and rolls to sell. Every morning just the same, since the morning that we came to this poor provincial town.
Good morning, Belle.
Good morning, monsieur.
Where are you off to?
The bookshop. I just finished the most wonderful story about a beanstalk and an ogre.
That's
and...
nice. Marie, the baguettes. Hurry up.
Look, there she goes. That girl is strange, no question. Dazed and distracted, can't you tell?
Never part of any crowd,
cause her head's upon some cloud.
Denying she's a funny girl, that Belle.
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your family?
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your wife?
I need sex eggs.
That's too expensive.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Oh, Belle.
Good morning. I've come to return the book I borrowed.
Finished already?
Oh, I couldn't put it down. Have you got anything new?
Not since yesterday.
Well, that's all right. I'll borrow this one.
That one? But you've read it twice.
Well, it's my favorite. Far off places, daring sword fights, magic spells, a prince in disguise.
If you like it all that much, it's yours.
But, madame.
I insist.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Look, there she goes. That girl is so peculiar. I wonder if she's feeling well.
With a dreamy, far off look.
And a nose stuck in a book.
What a puzzle to the rest of us is now.
Oh, isn't this amazing? It's my favorite part because you'll see here's where she meets Prince Charming. But she discover that it's him till chapter 3.
Now it's no wonder that her name means beauty. Her looks have got no parallel.
But behind that fair facade, I'm afraid she's rather odd. Very different from the rest of us.
She's nothing like the rest of us. She's different from the rest of us. Is there?
Two men in long red coats emerge on a porch. One yanks an arrow from his butt.
As a shot, Gaston, you're the greatest hunter in the whole world.
I know.
No beast stands a chance against you, or any girl for that matter.
That's right, Nafo. And I've got my sights set on that one.
The inventor's daughter?
She's the one. The lucky girl I'm going to marry.
But she's...
the most beautiful girl in town.
I know.
And that means she's the best. And don't I deserve the best?
Of course. I mean, you do. But I mean...
Right from the moment that I met her, saw her, I said she's gorgeous and I fell. Here in town there's only she who is beautiful as me, so I'm making plans to woo and marry Belle.
Look, there he goes, isn't he dreamy? Monsieur Gaston, oh, he's so cute. Be still, my heart, I'm hardly breathing. He's such a tall, dark, strong, and
hold on,
good day.
You call this bacon?
Some cheese. Excuse me.
I'll get the knife.
Please let me through.
This bread, it's stale.
Madam's mistaken.
Well, there must be more than this provincial life.
Just watch.
The townsfolk follow Belle as they march through bay doors past a cheering crowd. Some audience members hold signs that read, Je t'aime Belle. Belle leads them on stage. Large walls featuring sketches of old buildings surround them. Belle stands in the middle, smiling. Swaths of color fill in the sketches from the village, forming a blue sky around Belle and the townsfolk. Belle shrugs and smiles under a blue light as the audience applauds. The other townsfolk pose in tableau with wide smiles on their faces. Now, the cast stands in a circle and puts their hands in.
I'm a huge Beauty and the Beast fan.
I've been listening to it since I was a little kid.
My first memory of seeing Beauty and the Beast when it came out, I was 10.
Most stories that touch your heart when you're young, you never want it to end, and that's why another incarnation is always exciting.
Ow! I think he's gonna be really fun, man. Just look at the cast.
Oh my gosh, I love Shania Twain.
Oh my, Martin Short.
Her is brilliant.
What I like most about her is she plays guitar and she's good.
This is the dream team to end all dream teams.
It's the party of a lifetime.
It's gonna be really, really special. I can't wait.
Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. The title, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. Rita Moreno stands by a rose in a bell jar.
One of my favorite parts of tonight's celebration is the chance for all of us to take a look behind the curtain and experience Beauty and the Beast the same way the film's animators did when they first put pencil to paper. So, here, for the very first time, is a scene you will be familiar with, only in a way you have never experienced it before.
In an original storyboard sequence, an explosion shocks Belle.
This is it, Belle? This time is it! I'll win first prize at the fair this year.
Oh, Papa, it works! You did it! I always knew you were a genius.
Well, I don't know if I'd qualify as a...
You better hurry. It's a long ride to the fair. Goodbye, Papa. Good luck.
Goodbye, Belle. Take care while I'm gone.
Now animated, a horse pulls a wagon into a dark forest.
We should be there by now. Maybe we've missed the turn. I guess I should have taken a... Wait a minute. Come on, Philippe. It's a shortcut.
Red leaves blow over twisted tree branches. The horse inches through the fog, its eyes darting around.
This can't be right. Where have you taken us, Philippe? We better turn around.
Philippe bucks him off, shattering the lantern. He takes off with the cart, leaving Maurice behind.
Who's there? There's someone there.
Now in live action, Maurice rises and looks around a foggy forest.
Show yourself at once!
He falls back, eyes widening as dancers dressed as wolves surround him. The red-eyed wolves menacingly skip and crawl around him.
Stay!
They block him as he tries to escape into the forest.
Let's all calm down!
Lightning flashes in the darkness above him, and he runs toward a metal gate.
Help! There's someone there!
He shuts the gate behind him. The wolves claw at the gate behind him as he turns away, eyes wide. Lightning flashes behind an animated castle towering above him. In animation, Maurice runs along a stone bridge towards the castle's doors as rain pours down on him. It opens and he peeks inside. A red carpet stretches out to a grand staircase past large stone columns.
Hello? Hello? Oh, fellow must have lost his way in the woods. Keep quiet. Maybe he'll go away. Is someone there? Not a word, Lemire. Not one word. I don't mean to intrude, but I've lost my horse, and I need a place to stay for the night. Oh, Cogsworth, have a heart.
A candlestick burns Cogsworth, the small clock.
Of course, monsieur. You're welcome here. Who said that? Over here.
Where?
Hello.
He drops the talking candlestick.
How is this accomplished?
Put me down at once. Stop that. Stop that, I say.
Oh, you are soaked to the bone, monsieur. Come, warm yourself by the fire.
Thank you. No, no, no. No, what the master will do if he finds you here. I demand that you stop right there.
A footstool runs over like a dog.
Hello there, boy.
It wiggles its way under his feet, and a coat hanger wraps him in a blanket.
What service?
All right.
How would you like a nice pot of tea, sir? It'll warm you up in no time.
No, no tea. No tea.
His mustache tickles, Mama.
Hello.
Two shutters burst open and a gust of wind extinguishes the fireplace. The childlike teacup hides. The shadow of a large horned beast looms over him. It lumbers down the stairs.
There's a stranger here.
Master, allow me to explain. The gentleman was lost in the woods. He was cold and wet.
Master, I'd like to take this moment to say I was against this from the start. It was all his fault. I tried to stop them. Would they listen to me?
Cogsworth hides. The beast glares at Maurice.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
I was lost in the woods and...
You're not welcome here!
I'm sorry.
Are you staring at...
Nothing.
So, you've come to stare at the beast, have you?
Please, I meant no harm. I just needed a place to stay.
I'll give you a place to stay.
No, no, please! No, no!
The beast carries him off. At her home, Belle sets down a book and looks through the binoculars attached to her door. Gaston peers through the lens. She rolls her eyes as he opens the door.
Gaston, what a pleasant surprise.
Isn't it, though? I'm just full of surprises. You know, Belle, there's not a girl in town who wouldn't love to be in your shoes. This is the day...
He licks his teeth in a mirror.
This is the day your dreams come true.
What do you know about my dreams, Gaston?
Plenty. Here, picture this. A rustic hunting lodge, my latest kill roasting on the fire, and my little wife massaging my feet, while the little ones play on the floor with the dogs. We'll have 6 or 7.
Dogs?
No, Belle. Strapping boys like me.
Imagine that.
Do you know who that little wife will be?
Let me think.
You, Belle.
Gaston, I'm speechless. I really don't know what to say.
Say you'll marry me.
I'm very sorry, Gaston, but I just don't deserve you.
Whoa!
She opens the door and he falls into a mud puddle. She tosses his boots out after him. LeFou crouches beside the puddle.
So, how'd it go?
I'll have Belle for my wife. Make no mistake about that.
Touchy.
As Belle, Her walks on stage in front of a sketch of a house.
Can you imagine? He asked me to marry him. Me, the wife of that boorish, brainless...
Madame Gaston, can't you just see it? Madame Gaston, his little wife. No, sir, not me. I guarantee I want much more than this provincial life.
A girl hands her a large dandelion. She blows on it, then hands it to a clapping audience member as she passes. She runs into a meadow and twirls around the grass with an orange and purple sky behind her. Two hands grip onto her shoulders, and two women smile behind her. Others in dresses dance around the meadow. Belle joins the dancers wearing matching white and blue dresses. She spins around in a circle, arms outstretched, mirroring another dancer's moves. She grabs the dancers' hands, and they jump around in a circle. Then her and the others bounce on their toes with their arms raised above them. The others bounce around, jumping and twirling in their skirts. They cover their faces, then reveal them in rhythm with one another. Several dancers sway in a line as the others jump between them. They glide between each other, and a young girl backs up, waving us with her. Pairs of dancers move up in a line and press their foreheads together. As the camera moves between them, they back up. At the back of the meadow, Belle approaches the young child as she tunes a ukulele.
And for once it might be grand to have someone understand. want so much more than they've got planned.
The girl hands her the ukulele, and Belle sits down in a rock and strums. A title appears above her, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. Beauty and the Beast, original cast recording session.
Hello, hello. Now we are getting into character, eh?
Besides, they must fall in love tonight if we ever expect to be human again.
I've got my heart set on marrying Belle.
Lee, what are you doing here? Where's Papa? Where is he, Philippe? What happened? We have to find him. You have to take me to him.
At the castle, gray clouds swirl around the tower. Wrapped in a cloak, Belle rides Philippe to the gate. She stares up at its looming wrought iron bars.
What is this place? Philippe, please, steady.
She dismounts.
Steady.
She spots her father's hat beyond the gate.
Papa.
On stage, Belle removes her hood.
Hello? Is anyone here? Papa, are you here?
Cogsworth and Lumiere watch.
Did you see that? It's a girl!
Yes, I can see it's a girl.
But don't you see? She's the one! The girl we've been waiting for. She's come to break the spell!
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Didn't you invite the last guest in and you know who was furious?
Why are you getting so wound up? You're the one who keeps saying, "Oh, all this waiting is making me go cuckoo, cuckoo."
Clock jokes. Really, Lumiere? You must have burned the candle at both ends coming up with those. Come on, clock is ticking.
Oh, that's clever. My, you're a thinker. I would never have thought you could do that.
Maurice sits in a barred cell.
Papa?
Belle? Oh, you must leave here at once. Now go before he finds you.
Who?
What are you doing here?
Run, Belle!
I've come for my father. Please let him out. Can't you see he's sick?
And he shouldn't have trespassed here. There's nothing you can do. He's my prisoner.
There must be some way I can... Wait! Take me instead.
You would take his place?
Belle, no. You don't know what you're doing.
If I agree, you must promise to stay here forever.
Come into the light.
The Beast takes slow, lumbering steps towards her into the moonlight on the stage floor. He looks down at her, with a red cape flowing off his furry back and horns atop his head.
I won't let you do this.
Belle stares at the Beast with wide eyes.
You have my word.
Done!
No, Belle!
In animation, Beast drags Maurice outside.
No, please, Belle, my daughter. Please!
He's no longer your concern. Take him to the village.
Let me out! Please let me out!
A wooden carriage breaks free of roots and walks off. The Beast approaches Belle in a stone cell.
You didn't even let me say goodbye. I'll never see him again. And I didn't get to say goodbye.
I'll show you to your room.
My room? But I thought...
You want to stay in the tower?
No.
Then follow me.
She looks around at the castle's gargoyles as she follows the Beast, who carries Lumiere. He glances back at her, then stares sadly at the floor.
Say something to her.
Huh? I hope you like it here. The castle is your home now, so you can go anywhere you like. Except the West Wing.
What's in the West
Wing? It's forbidden!
She jumps back. He swoops his cape, then continues into a bedroom.
Now, if you need anything, my servants will attend you.
Dinner. Invite her to dinner.
You will join me for dinner. That's not a request!
He slams the door to her bedroom. She runs over to the large bed and collapses on it. Snow falls outside her window. In the village, a gust of wind blows through the town square. Inside a tavern window, Joshua Henry as Gaston stands amidst a crowd on stage, looking at LeFou.
Who does she think she is? That girl has tangled with the wrong man! No one says no to Gaston!
Darn right!
Dismissed. Rejected. Publicly humiliated. It's more than I can bear.
More beer?
What for? Nothing helps. I'm disgraced.
Who? You? Never! Gaston! You gotta pull yourself together!
Gosh, it disturbs me to see you, Gaston, looking so down in the dumps. Every guy here loved to be you, Gaston, even when taking your love. There's no man in town as admired as you. You're everyone's favorite guy. Everyone's awed and inspired by you. And it's not very hard to see why. No one's slick as Gaston. No one's quick as Gaston. No one's next as incredibly thick as Gaston. For there's no man in town half as madly. Perfect, the pure paragon. You can ask any Tom, Dick, or Stanley, and they'll tell you whose team they prefer to be on. No one's thin like Gaston, a kingpin like Gaston. No one's got a sword left in his chin like Gaston.
As a specimen, yes, I'm intimidated.
My, what a guy that Gaston. Give 5 hurrahs, give 12 hippies. Gaston is the best.
I've got biceps to spare.
Not a bit of him scraggly or scrawny.
That's right. And every last inch of me is covered in hair.
In a spitting match, nobody sweats like Gaston.
I'm especially good at expectorating. 10 points
for Gaston.
I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs every morning to help me get large. And now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs, so I'm roughly the size of a barge.
He drops a barbell with 2 barrels as weights on LeFou. Gaston dances on the circular bar while other dancers kick their legs, dancing on tables around the bar in a circle. A dancer cartwheels past. Gaston jumps down from the bar. He swings his arms around, then jumps back up. He flexes his muscles as he kicks his legs. The other dancers swoop in circles around tables as Gaston stands tall on the bar and beats his chest with a toothy grin. Gaston and LeFou pose on a throne of fur and antlers. Maurice runs on stage.
Help! Someone help me! He's got her! He's got her locked in a dungeon! Oh, we must go! Not a minute to lose!
Whoa, slow down, Maurice! Who's got Belle locked in a dungeon?
A beast! A horrible, monstrous beast! My daughter's life is in danger. Why do you laugh? The beast is real! Oh, will no one help me?
All right, old man, we'll help you out.
Oh, you will? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Ah. Crazy old Maurice! He's always good for a laugh.
Crazy old Maurice, Crazy old Maurice.
Gaston presses his tankard down in LeFou's hand.
LeFou, I'm afraid I've been thinking.
A dangerous pastime!
I know! But that wacky old coot is Belle's father, and his sanity's only so-so. Now the wheels in my head have been turning.
since I looked at that loony old man. See, I promised myself I'd be married to Belle, and right now I'm evolving a plan.
If I guess,
then we...
No, Belle, six.
Now I get it.
Let's go.
No one plots like Gaston, takes cheap shots like Gaston, plans to persecute you, madness, crackpots like Gaston.
So his marriage we soon will be celebrating.
Gaston flexes his bicep, with LeFou hanging onto his arm. They smile, and Gaston pulls him aside. A title, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. On stage, Lumiere and Cogsworth walk together.
There has to be some way we can cheer up Belle. Help her see the bright side.
I've got it!
Why don't you show your little TikTok dance? That always cheers me up.
It's not a dance, it's the way I walk. And TikTok is a sound I make when I move.
Oh, I'm suddenly happy.
In animation, Belle sobs on her bed.
Who is it?
Mrs. Potts, dear. I thought you might like a spot of tea.
But you're a...
Oh!
Careful!
This is impossible.
I know it is, but here we are.
That was a very brave thing you did, my dear.
We all think so.
But I've lost my father, my dreams, everything.
Cheer up, child. It'll turn out all right in the end. You'll see. Oh, listen to me, jabbering on while there's a supper to get on the table. Chip.
Bye.
Beast paces.
What's taking so long? I told her to come down. Why isn't she here yet?
Oh, try to be patient, sir. The girl has lost her father and her freedom all in one day.
Master, have you thought that perhaps this girl could be the one to break the spell?
Of course I have. I'm not a fool.
Good. So, you fall in love with her, she falls in love with you, and poof, the spell is broken. We'll be human again by midnight.
Oh, it's not that easy, Lumiere. These things take time.
But the rose has already begun to wilt.
Oh, it's no use. She's so beautiful, and I'm... Well, look at me!
Oh, you must help her to see past all that.
I don't know how.
Well, you can start by making yourself more presentable. Straighten up. Try to act like a gentleman.
Ah, yes. When she comes in, give her a dashing, debonair smile. Come, show me the smile.
But don't frighten the poor girl.
Impress her with your rapier wit.
But be gentle.
Shower her with compliments.
But be sincere.
And above all,
you must control your temper.
Here she is.
Good evening.
Well, where is she? What?
Your Grace! Your Eminence!
I thought I told you to come down to dinner.
I'm not hungry.
You'll come out or I'll break down the door.
Master, I could be wrong, but that may not be the best way to win the girl's affections.
Please, attempt to be a gentleman.
It would give me great pleasure if you would join me for dinner.
Please.
No, thank you.
You can't stay in there forever.
Yes, I can.
Fine. Then go ahead and starve! If she doesn't eat with me, then she doesn't eat at all.
He swoops down the hall and slams the door.
Oh dear, that didn't go very well at all, did it?
What does she want me to do? Beg!
In live action, Beast gazes into a golden hand mirror resting on a table.
Show me the girl.
He's really not so bad once you get to know him. Why don't you give him a chance?
I don't want to get to know him. I don't want to have anything to do with him.
I'm just fooling myself. She'll never see me as anything but a monster.
He runs a claw over the bell jar holding his rose.
It's hopeless.
A red light glows on a group of dancers crowded into the shape of a rose around one central dancer, who gazes straight up. Slowly, the dancers on the outside weave their arms, then writhe back onto the floor. They glide out, then move back toward the central dancer as they tumble onto their backs. The central man's shadow is cast on the wall behind him as he weaves his hands in front of his face. The dancers gyrate and twist on the ground beside one another, framing him in the red spotlight. The dancers spin on the floor around him, then lift each other up. Half the dancers stretch their legs as the others slide underneath them, moving around in a circle. The man stands tall as the dancers push in closer to him. Slowly, the dancers on the floor bend their legs, gliding them around in a circle. The central dancer taps the outer dancers on the shoulder. One by one, they roll away like petals falling from the rose. Four dancers remain, hunched in a low circle around the man. The man gazes upward with open palms. Now the rose sits in its bell jar.
The falling petals of an enchanted rose. Each one a graceful reminder that love is as fragile as it is enduring. As difficult to find as it is a wonder to hold on to. That true love can overcome any obstacles, no matter how impossible they may seem. It is this idea that inspired Walt Disney himself to want to tell the story of Beauty and the Beast as far back as the 1930s. For decades, Disney artists worked to adapt this tale as old as time, yet something was always missing from these early efforts. Then, more than 50 years after inspiration first struck, a team came together that was just as special as the fairy tale itself. Composer Alan Menken, lyricist Howard Ashman, and the team at Walt Disney Animation Studios found the missing spark. Together with Linda Wolverton, the first woman ever to write an animated feature for Disney, they brought the story to life not simply through words, but through music. And were finally able to deliver on Walt Disney's dream. Roy Disney himself wrote the film's prologue. Together, they embraced all the joy of Belle becoming the hero of her own story.
I want excitement and adventure in my life. And I want someone to share it with.
And the magic of the Beast and his enchanted castle. Beauty and the Beast has become one of the most beloved animated classics ever made. It was even the first animated film ever to be nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards. And to this day, Walt Disney's original idea continues to inspire us all.
The title, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. In animation, Mrs. Potts opens a cupboard.
Come on, Chip, into the cupboard with your brothers and sisters.
But I'm not sleepy.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Well, if you ask me, she was just being stubborn. After all, he could say please.
But if the master doesn't learn to control that temper, he'll never break
the... Splendid to see you out and about, mademoiselle. I am Cogsworth, head of the household. Mrs. Lumiere.
Enchanté, chérie.
If there's something, anything we please can do to make your stay more comfortable.
Ow!
I am a little hungry.
You are? Hear that? She's hungry. Stoke the fire, break out the silver, wake the china.
Remember what the master said?
Oh, pish, I'm not about to let the poor child go hungry.
All right, fine. Glass of water, crust of bread, and then...
Cogsworth, I am surprised at you. She's not a prisoner. She's our guest. We must make her feel welcome here. Right this way, mademoiselle.
Well, keep it down. If the master finds out about this, it will be our next.
Of course, of course. But what is dinner without a little music?
Music?
A spotlight shines on Martin Short.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you here tonight. And now, we invite you to relax. Let us pull up a chair as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, chérie, and we'll provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hot herbs. Why, we only need to serve. Fry the gravestones, it's the dishes. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France, and a dinner here is never second best. Go on and fold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We are guest. Be our guest. Beef ragout, cheese souffle, pie and pudding en flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware is entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks. And it's all in perfect taste that you can bet. Come on and lift your glass, you won your own free pass to be our guest. If you're stressed, it's fine dining we suggest. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Oh, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly, those good old days are gone. 10 years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting.
Needing exercise, a chance to use our skills.
Most days we just lay around the castle. Flabby, fat, and lazy, you are thinning up the daisy. Mon cher mademoiselle, it is my honor to present my favorite cup of tea. The incomparable Mrs. Potts.
Oh, it's a guest! It's a guest! Sakes alive, but I'll be blessed. Wine's been poured, and thank the Lord, I've had the napkins freshly pressed. With dessert, chouan tea, and my dear, that's fine with me. While the cups do their sapshuin, I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing, I'll get warm. Piping hot, heaven's sakes, is that a spot? Clean it up! We want the company impressed. We've got a lot to do. Is it one lump or two?
Sparks fly behind Lumiere as he poses on a staircase. Sitting in her chair, Belle claps.
Bravo! That was wonderful.
Thank you, mademoiselle. It was wonderful, wasn't it, everyone? Will you look at the time? Off to bed! Off to bed!
I'd like to look around. Perhaps you'd like to take me? I'm sure you know everything there is to know about the castle.
Well, actually, yes, I do.
Belle takes Cogsworth's arm.
Right this way.
As you can see, the pseudo-facade was stripped away to reveal a minimalist Rococo design. Note the unusual inverted vaulted ceilings. This is yet another example of the late neoclassic Baroque period. And as I always say, if it's not Baroque, don't fix it. Where was I? As you were. Now then, if I may draw your attention to the flying buttresses above the, mademoiselle?
Belle creeps through the foyer toward a staircase, and Lumiere, Cogsworth, and the footstool block her path.
A
What's up there?
Where? There? Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing of interest at all in the West Wing. Dusty, dull, very boring.
Ah, so that's the West Wing.
Oop.
Nice going.
I wonder what he's hiding up there.
Hiding? The master is hiding nothing.
Then it wouldn't be forbidden.
Perhaps Mademoiselle would like to see something else. We have exquisite tapestries dating all the way back to...
Maybe later.
The gardens or the library, perhaps.
You have a library?
Oh, yes. Yeah, indeed.
With books?
Scans of books.
Mountains of books.
Forests of books.
Cascades.
Cloudbursts.
Swamps of books.
More books than you'll ever be able to read in a lifetime. Books on every subject ever studied by every author who ever set pen to paper.
Belle waits for them to move down the hall before sneaking up the stairs. She peeks into a room. Destroyed furniture litters the floor. She pushes inside, passing tattered curtains. She turns in a circle as she walks, gazing wide-eyed at the destruction. She bumps into a table. A shattered bed frame leans against the wall. Belle turns to face a shredded painting of a man with bright blue eyes. She raises an eyebrow, then lifts a scrap of the painting back into place. Nearby, in front of two open balcony doors, the red glow of the enchanted rose catches her eye. She drifts towards the flower floating in its bell jar. Belle gazes at the rose, then lifts the jar away. As she slowly reaches her hand to the petals, the beast's shadow looms over her. He leaps and slams the jar over the rose, then glares at Belle.
Why did you come here?
I'm sorry.
I warned you never to come here.
I didn't mean any harm.
You realize what you could have done?
Stop!
Get out!
No!
Get out!
On stage, Belle flees through the castle gates. She hurries through the fog as a wolf leaps in her path. Moonlight peeks through the trees as she backs up. The wolf circles around a tree, blocking her path. She runs away, and two more leap out from behind a rock. She falls to the ground as the wolves surround her. They stalk closer and closer, gliding around each other and blocking her in. She grabs a log and swings it at them. They dodge, and one wrests the log from her grip. She falls back to the ground and looks up as the beast appears, looming over all of them. She ducks into the trees as he claws at the wolves. He bats and throws the wolves aside. The wolves stumble backward as he roars. The beast bristles, then hunches over with heaving breaths. He staggers forward and leans against a boulder as Belle comes out of the forest. She reaches out to him.
You saved me.
She puts her small hand on his face, gazing deep into his blue eyes. A title appears, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. In animation in the castle, Belle pours hot water out of Mrs. Potts into a bowl. She wets a rag as the beast licks his wounds.
Here now. Oh, don't do that. Just hold still.
That hurts!
If you'd hold still, it wouldn't hurt as much.
Well, if you hadn't have run away, this wouldn't have happened.
If you hadn't frightened me, I wouldn't have run away.
Well, you shouldn't have been in the West Wing!
Well, you should learn to control your temper. Now hold still. This might sting a little.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, thank you for saving my life.
His eyes widen and he looks at her.
You're welcome.
In town, Gaston sits with LeFou and a gaunt man.
It's like this. I've got my heart set on marrying Belle, but she needs a little persuasion.
So you want me to throw her father into the asylum unless she agrees to marry you? Oh, that is despicable. I love it.
At Maurice's house.
If no one will help me, then I'll go back alone.
Is that everything?
I don't care what it takes. I'll find that castle and somehow I'll get her out of there.
At the castle, the Beast watches from a balcony as Belle leads Philippe through the snow. He nudges her, and she hugs him. The footstool plunges into a snowbank and rolls around. It dashes into Belle's arms. The Beast grabs his bandaged arm.
I've never felt this way about anyone. I want to do something for her. But what?
Well, there's the usual things. Flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
Ah, no, no. It has to be something very special. Something that sparks her interest. Wait a minute.
In a castle corridor.
Belle, there's something I want to show you. But first, you have to close your eyes. It's a surprise.
She closes her eyes. Beast beams as he opens a door and leaves her inside a dark room.
Can I open them?
No, not yet. Wait here.
He pulls open the curtains and light pours in.
Now can I open them?
All right. Now.
She opens her eyes and looks around the large, multi-floored library. Shelves of books reach up to the ceiling.
I can't believe it. I've never seen so many books in all my life.
You like it?
It's wonderful.
Then it's yours.
Oh, thank you so much.
Would you look at that?
I knew it would work.
What works?
It's very encouraging.
Isn't this exciting?
I didn't see anything.
Melanchip, there's chores to be done in the kitchen.
But what are they talking about? What's going on? Come on, Mom.
At a dining table, Belle and the Beast sit across from each other. She takes a bite of porridge, then recoils as the Beast makes a mess, scarfing his food. Mrs. Potts motions at the Beast's spoon with her eyes, and Chip nudges it towards him. He reaches for the metal utensil, gripping it tightly. He takes a spoonful and drops it into his mouth. Belle sets down her spoon, then picks up the bowl. The Beast does the same. They smile at each other, then raise their bowls and tip them to their lips. On stage, Belle and the Beast stand in a snowy courtyard. Birds dance around them. Belle points to one, and it backs away from the Beast, frightened. She taps on his shoulder. She leads him toward the cowering bird.
There's something sweet and almost kind, but he was mean and he was coarse and unrefined. And now he's dear and so unsure. I wonder why I didn't see it there before.
The birds and Belle hide behind a fountain, then sneak around Beast as he stalks through the courtyard.
She glanced this way, I thought I saw. And when we touched, she didn't shudder at my paw. No, it can't be, I'll just ignore. But then she's never looked at me that way before.
New and a bit alarming. Who'd have ever thought that this could be true? There is no Prince Charming, but there's something in him that I simply didn't see.
Well,
who'd have thought?
Well, bless my soul.
Well, who'd have known?
Well, who indeed?
And who'd have guessed they'd come together on their own?
It's so peculiar.
We'll wait and see a few days more. There may be something there that wasn't there before.
You know, perhaps there's something there that wasn't there before.
There may be something there that wasn't there before.
What's there, Mama?
I'll tell you when you're older.
The enchanted servants wander away as Belle nestles into Beast's arm. Gold chandeliers shimmer on stage around Rita Moreno and the enchanted rose.
They start with a handful of notes, crescendo in a symphony of imagination and creativity. The sweeping score and songs of Alan Menken, the unforgettable lyrics of Howard Ashman. Together, they helped lead a Disney animated musical renaissance with Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, and Aladdin. While Ashman tragically passed away before Beauty and the Beast was released, Menken has kept the spirit of their partnership alive through his music for Disney classics and beyond. Acclaimed as it is beloved, Menken and Ashman's work on Beauty and the Beast did far more than achieve a Tony nomination, 4 Grammys, and 2 Oscars.
The Oscar goes to Alan Menken and Howard Ashman for Beauty and the Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
It struck a chord in all of us, inspiring fans of all ages, including some of the biggest names in the recording industry. And just wait until you hear the wonderful rendition of Beauty and the Beast that Shania Twain and 8-time Oscar-winning composer Alan Menken have in store.
She winks and crosses her arms. A title, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. In a storyboard, the Beast sits in a bathtub as a coat hanger scrubs him with soap.
Tonight is the night.
I'm not sure I can do this.
You don't have time to be timid. You must be bold, daring.
Bold, daring.
There will be music, romantic candlelight, provided by myself. And when the moment is right, you confess your love.
Yes, I can... No, I can't.
You care for the girl, don't you?
More than anything.
Well, then, you must tell her. Voila! Oh, you look so... so...
stupid.
Not quite the word I was looking for. Perhaps a little more off the top.
Your lady awaits.
Cogsworth gestures to the door. In the foyer, Belle walks down the steps in a flowing golden dress. Beast waits on the other side of the staircase in a blue dinner jacket and a white shirt. Lumiere gestures him forward, and Beast joins her on the landing. They smile at each other. On stage, Shania Twain stands beside a piano.
Tale as old as time, true as it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least. We're both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast, ever just the same, ever a surprise. Never as before, never just as sure as the sun will rise. Oh, tale as old as time, tune as old as song, bittersweet and strange.
to the cupboard with you now, Chip. It's past your bedtime.
An image of a gray-haired woman is projected besides Mrs. Potts. Text, Angela Lansbury, 1925 to 2022. The lights on stage dim. In animation, Belle and Beast sit on a balcony.
Belle? Are you happy here with me?
Yes.
Her smile fades, and she stares off into the starry night sky.
What is it?
If only I could see my father again. Just for a moment. I miss him so much.
He narrows his eyes, then smiles in realization.
There is a way.
He brings her to his hand mirror.
This mirror will show you anything. Anything you wish to see.
I'd like to see my father, please.
In the mirror, she sees Maurice collapsed in the forest.
Papa! No. He's sick. He may be dying, and he's all alone.
The Beast gazes at the wilting rose, then looks to the sky.
Then, you must go to him.
What did you say?
I release you. You're no longer my prisoner.
You mean I'm free?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Hold on, Papa. I'm on my way.
She hands the mirror back to Beast.
Take it with you. So you'll always have a way to look back. And remember me.
He strokes his claw through her hair.
Thank you for understanding how much he needs me.
Beast shuts his eyes. Belle caresses his cheek, then walks off. Cogsworth smiles as she leaves.
Well, Your Highness, I must say everything is going just swimmingly. I knew you had it in you.
I let her go.
Yes, yes. Splend... You... What? How could you do that?
I had to.
Yes, but why?
Because I love her.
On stage, Josh Groban walks out wearing a tight dark doublet. He looks around as curtains part behind him, revealing silhouetted figures. He steps forward, standing in front of the silhouette of the Beast, then looks down at the rose.
I was the one who had it all. I was the master of my fate. I never needed anybody in my life. I learned the truth too late. I'll never shake away the pain. I close my eyes, but she's still there. I let her steal into my melancholy heart. It's more than I can bear. Now I know she'll never leave me, even as she runs away. She will still torment me, call me, hurt me, move me, come what may. Wasting in my lonely tower, waiting by an open door. I'll fool myself, she'll walk right in and be with me forevermore.
He places his hand on the bell jar. Dancers spin around a figure under a red spotlight, tugging at unraveling fabric wrapped around the figure's waist. They spin around, pushing away and being pulled back. The dancers leap over each other as the figure in the middle raises their arms. The prince steps onto the circular stage behind the dancers.
I rage against the trials of love. I curse
reverse the fading of the light. Though she's already flown so far beyond my reach, she's never out of sight. Now I know she'll never leave me, even as she fades from view. She will still inspire me, be a part of everything I do. Fool myself, she'll walk right in. And as the long, long nights begin, I'll think of all that might have been waiting here
. The lights dim. Rita stands in a dark room.
What defines the legacy of a story? Its enduring impact, both on and off the screen, forevermore. Perhaps it's seeing that story reinvented, just as Beauty and the Beast was in its groundbreaking, highly acclaimed Broadway adaptation. Since then, Disney Theatrical Productions, under the direction of its president and producer, Thomas Schumacher, has forged a new chapter in the legacy of this classic title. One that gave audiences around the world a chance to fall in love with these iconic characters all over again. From India to Australia to the warm footlights in the West End and throughout the UK. Or perhaps the legacy of this timeless classic is in witnessing the magical spark of inspiration it ignites in artists, in children who wish they could be part of its world, and in grown-ups who still dream of the same. As for where that legacy will go from here, only time will tell. But if you would care to make a prediction, please, our guest.
Chip appears in her open hand.
Hi!
Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. In animation, Belle fades into view. She stands over Maurice in his bed.
It's all right, Papa. I'm home.
I thought I'd never see you again.
I missed you so much.
But the Beast... How did you escape?
I didn't escape, Papa. He let me go.
That horrible beast?
But he's different now, Papa. He's changed somehow.
Chip falls out of Belle's bag along with the mirror.
Hi!
Oh, a stowaway.
Why, hello there, little fella. Didn't think I'd see you again.
Belle, why'd you go away? Don't you like us anymore?
Oh, Chip, of course I do. It's just that...
The gaunt man waits at the door.
May I help you?
I've come to collect your father.
My father?
Don't worry, mademoiselle. We'll take good care of him.
My father's not crazy?
He was raving like a lunatic. We all heard him, didn't we?
No, I won't let you.
Belle? Maurice! Tell us again, old man. Just how big was the beast?
He was enormous. I'd say at least 8. No, more like 10 feet.
Well, you don't get much crazier than that.
It's true, I tell you.
Get him out of here.
Adore me.
No, you can't do this.
Poor Belle. It's a shame about your father.
You know he's not crazy, Gaston.
I might be able to clear up this little misunderstanding. If
what?
if you marry me.
What?
One little word, Belle, that's all it takes.
Never.
Have it your way.
Belle? Go off me!
My father's not crazy, and I can prove it. Show me the beast.
The mirror explodes with green light. On stage, Belle holds a mirror and Gaston grabs it. The beast appears in the glass.
The beast will make off with your children. He'll come after them in the night.
No.
Gaston is right. Look at its sharp, cruel fangs. It's a threat to us all.
We're not safe until its head is mounted on my wall. I say we kill the beast.
No, I won't let you do this.
The monster must have her under his spell. He'll curse us all if we don't stop him.
If you're not with us, you're against us.
Help!
Bring the old man.
No. Get your hands off me.
We can't have them running off to warn the creature.
Let us out.
We'll rid the village of this beast. Who's with me?
Through the mist, through the woods, through the darkness and the shadows. It's a nightmare, but it's one exciting ride. Say a prayer, then we're there at the drawbridge of a castle. And there's something truly terrible inside. It's a beast. He's got fangs, razor-sharp ones. Massive paws, killer claws for the feast. Hear him roar, see him foam, but we're not coming home till he's dead. Good and dead! Kill the beast! Screw your courage to the sticking place!
Take whatever booty you can find. But remember, the beast is mine!
The townsfolk raise pitchforks and march through the forest with Gaston. A title, Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration. In the castle, Gaston and the townsfolk stare inside the dark foyer at the unmoving shelves, candlesticks, and tables. Slowly, they head inside. LeFou grabs Lumiere.
Now!
The objects spring to life. A mop flies at a man, and two cabinets clap a man's head. A pot drops on another man's head as frying pans strike him. Gaston looks around with his bow and arrow, then hurries up the stairs. Outside, Chip blows into the furnace of a metal contraption on wheels. He hops into the conductor's chair and tugs a steam whistle. It barrels toward Belle's house.
Belle, look out!
The device chops through the cellar door. Belle and Maurice stare at Chip.
You guys gotta try this thing.
At the castle, LeFou and the other townsfolk run outside. Lumiere kisses Cogsworth's cheeks. In the west wing, the beast stares out the window beside the wilting rose. Gaston peeks inside with an arrow knocked in his bow. He aims it at Beast, who locks eyes with him, then sadly looks away. Gaston looses the arrow into the Beast's back. Gaston throws him out the window, then kicks him over the balcony and follows him onto the parapets.
Get up!
Get up! What's the matter, Beast? Too kind and gentle to fight back.
Gaston breaks a stone spike off the ledge and raises it over the beast.
No!
Belle looks up from Philippe.
Belle.
No! Gaston, home!
The beast catches the stone club and towers over Gaston.
Let's go, Philippe.
Philippe bursts through the castle doors as Beast pushes Gaston along the parapets. Inside, Belle runs up the stairs on foot. Gaston throws the beast off of him and smashes a gargoyle's head.
Come on, Aldo! Fight!
Were you in love with her, beast? Did you honestly think she'd want you when she had someone like me?
The beast hides among the gargoyles and sneaks up behind him. Gaston swings and the beast dodges. Beast backs up toward a ledge.
It's over, Beast! Hell is mine!
Beast knocks Gaston and dangles him over the ledge.
Anything!
Beast snarls. Rain drips down his face, and his eyes soften. He backs away from the ledge and drags Gaston close.
Get out.
Beast!
Belle.
She reaches out her hand from the balcony above him. He climbs the castle roof toward her. He takes her hand.
You came back.
Gaston stabs the beast in the back with a knife. As the beast swings, Gaston loses his grip. Belle clutches the beast, and Gaston plummets, screaming, into a river far below the castle. On stage, Lumiere, Cogsworth, and Mrs. Potts watch Belle lay the beast down on the balcony. Beast falls limp, and Belle cradles his head in her hands.
You came back.
Of course I came back. I couldn't let them... Oh, this is all my fault. If only I'd gotten here sooner.
Maybe. It's better this way.
Don't talk like that. You'll be all right. We're together now. Everything's going to be fine, you'll see.
At least I got to see you one last time.
Tears fall down Belle's face as she presses his hand to her cheek. His eyes roll back, and he droops onto the stone.
No! No! Please! Please! Please don't leave me! I love you.
On stage, Lumiere and Cogsworth turn. The rose dancers spin, leaping around one another under the glow of a red spotlight. Three dancers twirl as one, entwining their hands and gliding around the stage. One dancer rolls over another's shoulders as a third gyrates in place. They gracefully weave their bodies together through lifts and cartwheels. One by one, they slide down each other's backs onto the floor until one remains standing. Pink streaks of light fall among the raindrops around Beast and Belle. The beast's body begins to rise and float above her in the sky. On stage, Lumiere and Cogsworth hold hands, staring in awe. A haze forms as Beast's body rotates in the air. His red cloak wraps around him as he brims with a twinkling light. The fur disappears as his hand transforms into a human hand. Light bursts from his toes and his claws disappear on his foot. The horns atop his head recede and his face contorts into a handsome blonde-haired prince. Slowly, his cloak lowers him to the balcony. Bell reaches for him, then backs away as he stands. He studies his hands, then turns and gazes with wide blue eyes at Bell.
Bell, it's me.
He takes her hands and she raises her eyebrow. Then, she runs her fingers through the prince's lustrous locks of hair. She gazes deeply into his eyes.
It is you.
He brushes her hair back, and the two of them smile at one another. The prince leans in and kisses her. Blue light swirls around them, then a streak shoots up to the sky. The light bursts like fireworks over the castle. Golden light rains down over the castle. Its dark appearance gives way to light gray stone, and the gargoyles become statues of smiling humans. Lumiere transforms into a man.
Lumiere? Cogsworth! Oh, Mrs. Potts! Look at us!
Mama!
The footstool turns into a dog, and Chip transforms into a boy on top of him.
Oh my goodness! It is a miracle!
On stage, Belle walks to a staircase in a shining gold dress. The prince meets her at the top, smiling. He takes her hand, and they walk down together. They step into the middle of the circular stage and move up to two microphones standing side by side as dancers dressed in white finery watch in a circle around the raised stage. Around the stage, the dancers take each other's hands and twirl in a ballroom dance. Belle heads back up the staircase. Her silhouette appears with an electric guitar in the archway surrounding the stage. Fog rolls down the staircase as Belle plays at the top. Rose petals flutter onto the stage. The cast stand in a lineup together and beam at the audience. Rita Moreno raises her arm in a bow. Rizwan Manji waves away the audience, then bends forward. Shania Twain curtsies. Joshua Henry flashes a peace sign. Martin Short opens his arms wide. Josh Groban waves, then bows slightly. Her curtsies and blows a kiss. The cast applaud and motion appreciatively to the bowing dancers. Credits roll as the cast takes a bow before exchanging hugs. Directed by Hamish Hamilton. Teleplay by Ryan Landles. Executive producers Raj Kapoor, Katie Mullen, Hamish Hamilton, John M. Chu, Caitlin Foido, Richard Kraft. Co-executive producers Rob Payne, Kevin Hermanson, Chris Scott, Jamal Sims. Original score by Alan Menken. Songs by Alan Menken and Howard Ashman. Additional lyrics by Tim Rice. More credits roll with bloopers.
Lunch.
1, 2, 3.
Whoa!
Everybody sing along.
Gaston arm wrestles Chip. Josh Groban grins as he pilots the beast costume from within its hollow rib cage. Rita stands behind a gray-haired animator's desk, then hugs him.
Say hello to Mark Han, who actually animated Belle.
What kind of shenanigans will happen next?
The amazing world of Disney.
Copyright 2022, Greengrass Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved. Cogsworth.
I had the best time, and I'm sad it's over.
Logos, WDT Alternative, Electric Somewhere, Done and Dusted.